Welcome to Compliance Pointers, where we take an in-depth look into the latest news, trends, and challenges surrounding information security, privacy, and marketing compliance. Let's dive in with your host, Jordan Eisner.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Compliance Pointers. I'm your host, Jordan Eisner, and I am joined today once again by Tony Jarnigan. Tony, thanks for joining.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Solo this time.
That's right. And well, that's because you're so good previous times. You said, you know what? We need just mano a mano. Just Tony. No distractions. So I'm sure our audience will recall your resume, but just as a reminder, Tony is a consultant in our marketing compliance group here at Compliance Point. He's been with the company for over 2 years. I got that wrong last time. I thought he'd been here longer just because of the impression you make, Tony. But just over 2 years. Previous to that, he spent 10 years with Disney Vacation Club doing compliance work. In fact, he's been doing compliance type work inside this space and others for the better part of 20 years. So quite experienced and quite a good guest to have on this podcast to talk about revocation of consent and the rules under the TCPA and how they could be changing, some recent court rulings and best practices to make sure you're complying with the rules. So Tony, let's dive right in. First question, or maybe first request, can you quickly break down what consent revocation is, or what does that term mean?
Yeah, it's a couple of big sounding words, isn't it?
That for a guy like me.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, Jordan, but anyway. So basically, you know, a consumer, it's the ability, a consumer's ability to unsubscribe, right, from receiving calls and texts. It's easy enough to opt into calls and texts and to get on businesses lists to be contacted, right? So this is about how to get off those lists.
Right. And to be able to stop the calls. Don't even know. Right. Until we already get the email. A lot of times we don't even know until we already get the email or the call that we've opted in.
Right. Exactly right. Yeah. You don't even know it sometimes. So that's how easy it is. So here the theory is that it should be as easy to get the calls and texts to stop as it was to get them started. And ultimately, consumers should be able to revoke their consent to be called and texted in any reasonable manner, is the term that the FCC uses.
Mm-hmm. And so any reasonable manner, I'm sure you're probably prepared to answer this question, then what are some opt-out methods, right? What is a reasonable manner that a business would need to provide to a consumer if they want to revoke their consent? I remember learning that it should be, I think you just said it well, of similar ease. Right. To unsubscribe as is to subscribe, but also maybe that the channel needs to be similar. If you give consent via phone, you should be able to revoke it via phone, online, so on and so on. But maybe you have more prescriptive information on that.
That's right. Very good, Jordan. We need to get you on the consultant side.
Been there, done that.
Okay.
Got the T-shirt.
But yeah, I mean, to your point, if it's a live, you look at your channel, right? And so if it's a live call, a consumer should be able to tell the live agent that they don't want to get calls anymore. Agents should be well-trained on how to appropriately respond to such requests and get those internal DNCs dispositioned correctly. If it's a text message, you should be including opt-out instructions. But here the thing is you should be honoring any reasonable request here too, right? So even if your instructions say to respond with a stop, you should also honor other terms like quit, unsubscribe, end, et cetera, et cetera. So, or even do not, like some people may say, could be so frustrated, they say, stop texting me or don't text me anymore or contact me anymore. And you should be able to operationalize those as well. Or even if it's a typo. See, a lot of these things people don't even consider. Mm. So, if someone were to respond with STIP instead of STOP, The eye is right next to the L on the keyboard. So there could be a typo, right? But you need to make sure that you have some sort of perhaps manual oversight to make sure that any response is being dispositioned as a as an opt out. Excuse me.
Yeah,
So
that's a good point on the typos, and I do remember coming across that in conversations where we've given that advice, and you're spot on, right? Somebody setting up these rules might not think about that, and then a consumer might think that they've opted out, and perhaps later on in courts they could prove that they didn't technically do it correctly. But it's a good practice, to your point,
right.
right? To not only have the words spelled right, and many of those words for what could be revocation of consent, but also common type errors that would be
Right.
associated with those.
Right. Now, some businesses may opt to, in instances that you just recited there, some businesses may opt to go ahead and if it's not, if the consumer responds with something that the system doesn't recognize, it may generate the opt-out instructions again. Ultimately you need to just the safest route is to go ahead and just opt them out of, regardless of how they respond. A couple of other items to note here, if you're leaving pre-recorded messages, even for informational purposes, you should be using interactive voice or key press activated opt-out mechanisms, right, during those robocalls, or providing a phone number that, that's operational for the consumer to be able to call back and request an opt-out. And then, a good practice too is a lot of businesses will have preference management portions on their websites, right, where consumers can go in and like customize their contact preference. So, that's advisable
Yep.
as
We call that an opt down, right? As opposed to opt
well.
out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, sometimes I'll try and go to a website and I'll type the name in between www and .com and I'll type it wrong and hit enter so fast and it'll still go to that site and will have corrected it. And I assume that that organization has bought the domain for even the typoed name too, right? Just so they funnel all traffic to them. And it's a similar concept here.
Right. Exactly right.
So, and maybe this depends on the type we're talking about, and this is painting too broad a brush on my question, but you tell me, how much time do businesses have to respond to consent revocation requests?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that's really the question that sort of probably gave rise to the desire to want to do this podcast, right? Is that, excuse me. Currently, the FCC specifies, quote unquote, within a reasonable time, not to exceed 30 days. Some have mistakenly looked at this as a like a grace period, and it's not a grace period at all. I think the courts historically allowed, years ago, they probably allowed for more time up to the 30 days to operationalize a DNC request. But as technology has improved, I think they're more inclined to hold that it's less and less reasonable to say that it took me, the whole 30 days, or, and as we're going to see in a couple of cases here in a couple of minutes, even, a handful of days to get the person opted out. But now there's a pending FCC rule, which I think we've talked about before in one of these podcasts, that would change within a reasonable, two things, within a reasonable time would become as soon as practicable. That's FCC. That's the FCC language, not my language. Not my language. I think I would have just said practical, but practicable, and to reduce the 30-day window to 10 days. They had originally proposed 24 hours, by the way, but ultimately landed on 10 days. But still, it's not like it's an entire 10-day grace period. So now the language would be as soon as practicable, which, given technology, could be much less. And the FCC has even commented in this proposed rule change that, with automated technology and as, technology advances, businesses should be able to honor requests very quickly and hence the reason for the language change.
Still seems a bit subjective.
It is. It will be. But so, but that's that leads us to our lesson here, right? Do it as soon as possible.
Yeah. Yep. Well said. Okay. So you mentioned the recent court case demonstrates the importance of these opt-out requests, right, or doing so quickly. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, there's been a couple, which has been the subject of a recent blog post that I did. But and by the way, you know that the name of the game with compliance can usually be nailed down to managing consumer expectations, right? So once there's an opt-out, you know, you can say it may take us a few days to get this operationalized, but a consumer just doesn't expect that to happen anymore with today's technology, right? And when they opt out of a call, they expect the calls to stop. If they opt out of a text, they don't expect to get any more texts. But back to the cases, pardon me. There was one involving our favorite pizza, Papa John's, maybe some people's favorite pizza, where the guy opted out this past July 17th, to be exact, after his first text. Then he got two more texts on the 21st and the 24th. And I'll go ahead and do the math for our listeners and for you too, Jordan. That's 4 and 7 days, respectively. 4 and 7 days, right? So don't even talk about the 30, but it's also within the 10 days. So he filed a suit. Papa John's filed a motion to dismiss, arguing they opted him out within a reasonable time. And the court here refused to grant the motion to dismiss, saying that Papa John's argument showed a misunderstanding of the law and that they're not prepared to end the case at this stage as a matter of law. And the case could continue. But here what happened was, is instead of continuing to spend money to litigate the case, Papa John's went ahead and settled. And, you know, again, notably, they settled for texts that they sent 4 and 7 days after the person opted out. There was another case that involved a plaintiff that sued bikers against drunk drivers. Who would want to sue bikers against drunk drivers, right? Or anybody against drunk drivers. But still, it happened. They had allegedly continued to text the plaintiff like 16 times after over the next several days, but within the 30-day time, well within the 30-day time period, that's the current rule. But here, we're not sure what happened, but the plaintiff ended up dismissing the case with prejudice, meaning it can't be refiled. It's usually where there's been a settlement. We don't know that to be a fact. That's a speculation, but that's usually what happens. But again, notably, the suit was brought because of texts that were continued to be sent within this time period of 30 days. So again, lesson to learn.
Yeah.
Get them operationalized as soon as possible.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. So that's a little bit of what's to come then, I would say, with those settlements. If an organization doesn't implement procedures to opt out as soon as possible. To your point. Right.
Again, like I said, it's about managing consumer expectations. And, you know, consumers don't expect to get calls and texts after they've opted out. So, you know, you may find yourself in a position where you have to litigate a defense, you know, even though, you know, letter of the law, you know, you may be okay, but you have to prove that you're okay. And then companies may end up very well deciding that it would be cheaper to go ahead and settle than to litigate the case.
Right. Okay. So I think the big picture makes sense. Handle opt-outs as soon as possible. Keep consumer expectations in mind. Aside from those, maybe a little bit more tactful or tactical would be the better term. What can businesses do to avoid being in the same shoes as Papa John's?
Well, you nailed the number one when they're already operationalized those DNC or DNT, do not text requests, as soon as possible. Never assume you have 30 or even 10 days. Don't think of it as a grace period, for heaven's sakes. include your opt-out information in your do not call policy. Make sure, I mentioned it earlier, but make sure you train your staff on responding to opt-outs, how to appropriately respond, and how to make sure that they disposition or operationalize those opt-out requests as soon as possible. Be sure you're communicating your opt-outs to third parties calling on your behalf, right? And make sure that they're relying, or they're relaying opt-outs back to you ASAP.
Right.
And here's one too that is very important. Make sure you're maintaining one centralized DNC or DNT list, right? We've seen some clients that, say, well, we use different systems for different campaigns. Just imagine that's just fraught with all kinds of potential problems because, somebody opts out of one campaign or in one system, right? And then that system doesn't talk to the other system. And then they end up getting a communication from the same business, perhaps, for, the same product or service, under a different campaign or under a different system. And, you don't want to have that happen. So, make sure that, as much as possible that you're able to maintain one centralized list. What else? And of course, always remember, especially in today's world, that, calls are texts and texts are calls, right? The rules apply to both. We get a lot of questions around, well, what if my customer opts out of texts? Can I still call? But, think about that. It's almost impossible to imagine a scenario where a consumer would be saying, I don't mind you calling me, but just don't text me anymore, right? We strongly advise treating calls and texts and treating them the same way.
I always say, because there does seem to be some misinformation, maybe not even that, but at least lack of guidance, because I have organizations come and they go, well, we're just texting, we're not calling. And I usually remind them that these regulations treat a text the same as a call.
Right. And by the way, I mean, one final point here, and I think this will sort of put a bow on everything, right? I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners out there saying, well, these rules apply to robocalls and robotexts, and they don't apply to me because I'm using, I'm dialing manually or whatever. Robocalls and robotexts, meaning that, those are the systems that are automated in nature, right? We always advise following the rules no matter what type of system you use, because one, you never know when the definitions are going to change again, right, of an automated system. And you don't want to have to spend the money, like as I mentioned earlier, you don't want to have to spend the money trying to prove that your system isn't automated, which plaintiffs almost are certain to allege, right? So just go ahead and apply these rules no matter what kind of system you're using, right? Again, because again, if you're managing your consumer expectations, and you want the competitive advantage against your competition, it goes a long ways if you manage consumers' expectations.
Yep. Sage wisdom from a 20-year man.
Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you to our audience for listening. As a reminder, we produce content like this regularly, so make sure you don't miss an episode. Subscribe on whichever platform you prefer. Leave us a review, especially if you're enjoying the content. And don't forget that Compliance Point helps organizations of all shapes and sizes solve for these type issues, right? And build, I'd say, robust compliance programs, policies, processes, technology, but never overkill, always practical, or what was the FCC term, Tony?
Reasonable? Practicable.
Practicable.
Yeah.
That's
hard to say, but I'm going to try to incorporate that in my everyday language somehow. I'm not sure how yet, but
practicable. Got it. But that's it. So you can reach out to Compliance Point on our website. You can find us or email us at connect@compliancepoint.com. I'm on LinkedIn. Tony's on LinkedIn. So please don't hesitate. If you got a question, you got a concern, or you're just interested in learning more, please don't hesitate to reach out. Until next time.